It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Fade the Chalk Live is back. And today, we are going to discuss players you need to be trading for and getting off your roster. Adam, what's going on today, man? How you doing? I know we both talked about it. We're driving the struggle bus. The fight with all things lawn maintenance is real, my friend.
Yeah, it's one of the struggles of still working from home. But if that's, you know, if that's my huge issue today, then I think I'll be all right. But no, it's a good week. It's always interesting going into week two to kind of try to determine who you think you should probably be trading away and trading for. And that's what we're going to try to do today. So, you know, one more day till football. It's a good time overall.
Dude, it's been crazy. And I want to, before we get into trades, I want to discuss something we talked about yesterday. And it's been all over the timeline. In your leagues, what did you see Elijah Mitchell go for in FAD? I saw some places, and this is like high money leagues, all kinds of stuff, home leagues, everything. I saw 50%. I saw 60%. I saw one of my leagues, he went for freaking 75% of FAB. And I'm sitting here like, we talked about it yesterday. I was like, I'm probably not getting any Elijah Mitchell anywhere. And yeah, I was a big ofer. None. Nada. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
I think there was two leagues where I went after him, and I believe I put in like a claim for like 34%, mm-hmm. and he ended up going for 36. So he didn't go like too far off what we were saying yesterday. I haven't checked every single one of my leagues though. So I'm sure there was a league where he probably went closer to like what you said, but, newsflash, spoiler alert. We might be talking about him today. So.
We might, my friend. The hype is real. And the other thing I want to get in here real fast. In today's show, again, like yesterday with waivers, we're going to be rolling through all of your questions at the end of the show, going through trades, all these different things. So while we're live right now, throw your questions in. We're going to answer them at the end of the show. Adam, kick us off here, man. Who is the first player that if you are crafting offers in your leagues, you're like, okay, come on the squad. Let's go.
Look, man, I know it's only week one and a lot can change, but I think it's time for both of us to take the L on Tyler Higbee.
Yep.
There were concerns for both of us in the offseason, right? Yes, Gerald Everett was gone, but they were using him as a blocker so much, and he was outside the top 20 among tight ends in routes run. But you look at the usage in week one, and that's something that you can apply going forward. It's not a mirage from week one, right? So Tyler Higbee literally played every single snap. He did not come off the field. He ran around on 26 of Matthew Stafford's 27 dropbacks. This is going to be a top seven tight end. And he had a fine game. You know, he didn't score, but he had you know, a fine game. I would trade for him if you don't have, you know, obviously the top three, Hockenson. I don't know. Like, I'm not overreacting to Mark Andrews week one, but I don't think he's that far off from Andrews after. Like, with this usage, like, the talent's always been there. We saw the stretch in the end of 2019 where he was just 100-yard game after 100-yard game. So the talent's there. It's just the consistent usage and ability to run routes, which we always talk about for tight ends. That looks like it's going to be there. And yes, it's one game sample, but this Rams offense with Matthew Stafford under center looks like it's going to be elite, if not like right there. So I am trying to trade for Tyler Higbee in any league that I'm not set at tight end. I'm taking the L. I'm owning it. I'm admitting it. I was wrong, but now it's time to adjust.
I'm with you, man. We got to own this L. This segment is brought to you by John Daigle, who will be stopping by the podcast tomorrow to talk about DFS. He was all on it. You and I were like, no, no, no.
Yeah, we were like, what are you, an idiot? Get off our podcast. And obviously,
we're wrong, man. We were totally wrong. And look, you're absolutely right. I know it was the Bears pass defense, but Stafford and company looked amazing. The Rams passing attack is legit. They're going to be carving up secondaries all year long. I'm with you, man. I'd be training for him wherever you possibly could.
He did that in a game where they barely had the ball and mm-hmm. only threw 27 times. So, like, their defense is really good, and there's going to be situations where they're going to only have to throw 28 to 30 times. But they'll be in plenty of, you know, high-scoring affairs, too. So I just think Higbee is one of those situations where you look at the week one usage and it's not an outlier. It's something that we can tell is going to continue. And it's kind of a sign of things to come.
Well, the other thing is like he didn't pop off for like 100 yards, two touchdowns, things like that. Like did he have a good game? Sure. Did he have a great game?
Yeah, it was fine.
No. So you could still go make the move for him. He might actually be on the waiver wire in some shallow leagues too. So I think it's a good call and a player you need to be trading for, man. The guy that I got to get up in here, and he is back from suspension. I think that he could take the mantle as the number one pass catcher in this Dolphins passing attack. It's Will Fuller, baby. There's not going to come a time where I'm off the Will Fuller train. The talent is real as long as he can stay healthy. And I know that's everybody. Dude, that is everybody's joke. Everybody, the first thing they go to about Will Fuller. You can't tell me that last year he didn't prove that he could be a number one receiving option for a passing attack in
an
offense.
Then even with that, everybody goes, well, he probably only stayed healthy because of the PEDs. So it's like,
God, man, like, it's like,
can't win.
There's just some, I know, he's like, he just can't win. Like, he goes out and he shows that, like, literally, he can carry a passing attack because that's what he did. And everybody still talks about him like he was just a deep threat. That's not all he was last year. If anything, he did that less than he did in previous seasons. So he's not going to be expensive in any league that you're in. If you look at the matchups that the Dolphins have upcoming, yes, they get Buffalo this week. So again, you could even make this move after Buffalo, okay? Because we know that the Bills are going to have a good pass defense. But the matchups after this, Adam. So his next 7 games, he gets the Raiders, terrible. They get Indy, who is banged up. Tampa Bay, who people were reminded in week one that Tampa Bay is not this total shutdown pass defense, that these corners can be beat when you have good route runners and the quarterback has enough time to sit there and get rid of the ball. So I'm not saying that Tampa Bay's defense is bad, but are they absolute lockdown, shutdown every single week? They're what we saw in the Super Bowl? No. Everybody quickly forgets how bad they were at the first 5-6 weeks of last season. And it's a pass funnel. Then you look at, they get Jacksonville, terrible. The Falcons are atrocious. Then they get the Bills and then the Texans. Those 3 of those last 4 that I mentioned out of those next 7 games, bottom 5 pass defenses. And that's all Will Fuller, man. So I think that you're going to be able to trade for him for the price tag of what, Adam? I mean, what would you say? Will Fuller, you could probably get him for wide receiver 3 value, wide receiver 4 maybe, because
might even be able to trade, like, if you're kind of set at running back, you probably could trade Devin Singletary straight up for him.
You could. Hell, dude, if say, and I'm, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but one of these hot commodities off the waiver wire you're going to discuss later, could you trade Elijah Mitchell?
Yes.
And get Will Fuller plus? I think it's an easy way to do that. And I'm not saying that I don't like Elijah Mitchell. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we're looking at rest of the season, and we don't know what this 49ers backfield is going to look like for the rest of the season. I can tell you we've seen a long enough sample size to tell you that Will Fuller is a damn stud. We know that. That's tried and true. And with Miami, if the passing rate and the pace surprise this year, and he's the number one there, because Devontae Parker, not enough injury stuff and things get applied to him after he had the one fabulous season, okay? Jalen Waddle's still a rookie. I think Tua, I still think Tua's going to be good this year. So if he's good, who's he throwing the ball to? I think it's going to be Will Fuller, man. I know we brought up, and usually we're, I had a hard time, I'm going to say this. I had a hard time coming up with players, because there's a lot of good candidates out there, Adam, to trade for and trade away this week. I wrestled with another guy to add to this because I know we're kind of limiting this to, you know, maybe one, like two players to get on your teams, two players to get off of your teams. I want to bring up another player here in a second that I wrestled with bringing up in this segment. Is there anybody else that you were like, I got to mention here?
DJ Moore.
Yes. Love it. You'll love to see it.
So high on him in the offseason. I'm not sitting here saying, oh my God, DJ Moore just had 150 yards and two touchdowns, because he didn't. He had like 80 yards, but he was among the team leaders in targets. And the usage, like, you look at his route tree, he ran routes intermediate, down the field, short. His ADOT, you know, from last year and then week one, again, one game sample, but it's down by about three. So it's not like, it's not Juju Smith-Schuster type low. It was like around 10, and his yards before the catch per reception was down by about two or three yards. So a little bit more consistent intermediate targets for a player that's so good after the catch. And then he also had two targets off screens. He had an end around kind of jet sweep carry for 14 yards. I just loved how they used him. And like, I'm you know, he's going to get yardage. He's been top 10 in yardage each of his last two seasons in the NFL. And they get the Saints this week, who are probably going to be without Marshawn Lattimore. And then they get Houston and Dallas. So, yeah.
I feel like I'm being attacked right now. Like, you saw my hoodie and you were like, okay, we're just going to pick on the Saints right now.
I mean, I'm more so picking on the Texans and Dallas, but the Saints are just kind of like, they're fine, but obviously the matchup's enhanced.
I don't disagree with you. I absolutely get it, man. And we're talking about changing our tune on players, okay? You and I not only threw a lot of mud at Tyler Higbee this offseason, every single podcast we did, and I talked about a player's usage, and I talked about how is he going to pay off the fact that we're drafting him as a top 8 tight end, a top 10 tight end, and he didn't even do those things last year. I'm going to flip the script right now. And again, we talk about staying liquid, Adam. Like, this is what we preach and talk about, like, you adjust to news. The fact that Jerry Jeudy is going to miss extensive time with injury now changes my tune on Noah Fant. Like, I think he's a player that you need to be going after in leagues. He has the ceiling. He has the upside with Jeudy now missing time. You're looking at a passing attack that... My biggest thing against Noah Fant was, okay, Cortland Sutton's here, Jerry Judy's here, the running backs out of the backfield catching passes, KJ Hamler. How is he going to garner this type of target share? And now, without Jeudy there, he steps into the 1B role right behind Cortland Sutton, man. Like, I mean, and not only that, you look at the matchups that Noah Fant has coming up. First of all, 22% target share in week one. The matchups he has starting this week. So this is a move you need to be making ASAP. Like, if you could possibly make this move right now, be crafting offers while you're throwing questions into this episode. And let us know. Noah Fant gets Jacksonville 30th in DVOA against tight ends. Oh, it doesn't stop there, people. Then he gets the Jets, 27th. Baltimore, 22nd. And then he cools off for a second. He gets the Steelers and the Raiders, who were good against tight ends last season. We'll see how that plays out this year. And then he gets Cleveland, who was 28th last year. And I know they've added a lot of parts and pieces to their defense, but still, if the corners are good on the outside, he's going to get the targets over the middle, that we could still see them give up some production to the tight end position. I love his matchups coming up, Adam. What are your thoughts on Noah Fant?
Yeah, I think you have to feel good about him. I mean, I think Bridgewater in week one looked pretty good. Obviously, I think Sutton's going to be obviously more involved out, you know, more than week one. But talent's never been an issue with Noah Fant. And a lot of the concerns about some of these Denver pass catchers in the offseason was, okay, they have Jeudy, they have Sutton, they have Hamler, they have Fant, they have the run. I mean, Jeudy being out is massive. I mean, he's a guy that can just get open at will and earn plenty of targets. So with him out, like, I don't think Sutton is going to be able to get consistent separation and get targets like Jerry Jeudy could. So I think Noah Fant, like you said, could see 20 to 22%, 23% target share for the time being. and the matchups are great, and it's still an immensely talented player. So, yeah.
I mean, I think there's definitely upside to be had there for him. Before we flip this over to players that we're getting off of our rosters, if you're crafting these trade offers and there's a little bit of smack talk in your messaging board between your home leagues and things like that, make people put their money up. Make them shut up about it. And to do so, you need to be heading to Top Prop Sports right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. This is a fantastic way to add another layer of competition to all of your leagues. You can import your leagues from ESPN or Yahoo, play head-to-head contests for real money, and set those up today. TopPropSports.com. Adam, kick us off here, man. Who's a player you're like, bye-bye. See you later. I don't need you no more.
I'm looking at both San Francisco players here. So, okay. And this is obviously very like case specific. If you picked up Elijah Mitchell and 35-40% of your budget, and you have no running backs, right? You lost Mostert, you lost Gus Edwards, like whatever. Like we had a question yesterday about someone who went zero RB, and their running back one was Miles Gaskin. Like, I would hold there. But if you pulled the move where I'm good at running back and I'm picking up Elijah Mitchell to kind of block anybody else from getting him, and you're still set at running back, this is the time to trade him. Trade him to whoever had Raheem Mostert. Trade him to whoever is hurting at running back. Because sooner or later, and probably starting this week, Trey Sermon is going to have a role in this offense. Mm-hmm. And who knows, Jamichael Hasty could have a role in this offense still. So, and Brandon Ayuk is going to play more than 30 snaps eventually. So for me, that's why I think the value won't be higher than it is right now for not only Elijah Mitchell, but Deebo Samuel as well. I know he's coming off a huge game, and I like Deebo Samuel as a player, but again, it's the same thing with Brandon Ayuk, why I wasn't crazy about him in the offseason. Kittle's still going to get his targets. They're still going to be a run first team, and maybe it's a little bit different because Ayuk situation is kind of in flux right now. But like, if you can get somebody like that was clearly higher than Deebo pre-draft, I think you try to do it. I'm not as convinced to just trade Deebo as I am to maybe trade Elijah Mitchell. But again, it's all very case specific. So like, if you were lucky enough to pick Elijah Mitchell up and you're still set at running back, try to trade him to whoever had Raheem Mostert, because they're going to want him.
I think that and this is not me hating on Elijah Mitchell, but like, between the fab bids that we saw, I think the hype is at an all-time high. I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing about it is like, if you're set at running back and you picked him up as not just a block, but like, okay, now he's my RB4, then, and maybe you're a little bit thinner at wide receiver, do you trade him for like somebody you can get like a wide receiver too? Like, I mean, look, like we saw Jamar Chase go out and have a good game. T. Higgins didn't blow up in week one. Could you go out and try to like get a T. Higgins for Elijah Mitchell? And that sounds crazy. Yeah,
and by the way,
the hype is real out there.
If we were doing, it's funny you brought that up, because if we were putting three players down, T. Higgins would have been my third player to trade for. So,
I mean, I just think that there is so much conviction out there right now between the fab bids and the hype, and yes, it's the San Francisco back, and I'm not saying that the upside isn't there. There's also downside, and there's also volatility with this backfield. And with all of those things, can you go out there and trade for a player that you know is going to get a 22-25% target share? If you can do that. So here, I'm going to flip this. I want to ask you another layer to this. If you went out there and you were one of the teams that put out a 50% fab bid, do you feel like you've pushed your chips to the middle a little bit so much that, like, I don't know if I can get rid of Elijah Mitchell? Or is it still like, I mean, I'm willing to sit here and get rid of him. Just depends on what I'm getting back.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I do think it depends. I also will say you shouldn't have put 50% of your budget on Elijah Mitchell in the first place. But like, if you can package like Elijah Mitchell and another receiver and get a Julio or one of those receivers that kind of struggled in week one, I think you have to at least try. Like, I'm not saying you have to sit here. You just picked up Elijah Mitchell. I'm not saying you have to sit here and trade him right away. But again, like, odds are his value, especially when he's been the talk of Twitter and everybody's, you know, putting in massive fab bids for him. Mm-hmm. Unless he really is this year's James Robinson or whatever, which he could be. And by the way, again, talked about it, but Ray GQ was on that like months ago. I think you have to at least try, especially to whoever had Raheem Mostert on their team or is just hurting at running back, because the opportunity is there for you to get something very valuable in return.
I agree. I think that you need to be at least like floating him out there, put him on the block, like, and see, because people are always like, well, what can I get back in return? And you get these questions, it's like, what should I be going for, or what should I try to get in return for said players in fantasy trades? And it's like, those questions are almost, they're impossible to answer, because the way that I always tell people, I'm like, depends on what people are offering you. That's what it comes down to. Like, you can ask for the damn moon, and it doesn't matter if your league is like, no, I'm not going to give you that. So you got to at least, like, dip your toe into the waters. Like yesterday in our Discord, I was telling people, like, look, go ask for Trey Sermon, or at least poke that owner and be like, hey, like, you know, like the fantasy GM, and say, hey, what do you want for Trey Sermon? I mean, Alas Mitchell, high, blah, blah, blah. Do you need wide receiver help? And see if that GM needs somebody else on their roster, or they're just done with, because that's how high the hype got, Adam. And it's still up there. That I think that, yes, could you go grab Trey Sermon and acquire him for less than probably what his rest of the season outlook is? I think it's possible, man. A player that I've got to kick this off with to get off of rosters, and this is not that I don't like him. This is, I think that we're seeing not a flash in the pan, but I don't think that he's going to be able to keep up this type of usage the rest of the season, Adam. And if teams are coming off of week ones where their tight end failed, like, I'm not saying Kyle Pitts teams, but like, you're talking about Mark Andrews, there's a lot of like highly touted tight ends that did not have good week ones. If you're able and you picked up Rob Gronkowski off the waiver wire, you have him on your team, even if this puts you into streaming the position for the rest of the season, I think you need to get rid of him, and this is why. We saw him in week one play a ton, Adam. His usage was through the roof. Played 88% of snaps. He ran the fifth most routes amongst all tight ends in the NFL. Now, you look at last year, and I understand he was coming off a layoff, rust, all that kind of stuff. He was 14th in routes amongst all tight ends. You look at weeks 1 through 6, he played 80% or more snaps in 4 of those games. Now, down the back half of the season, so weeks 7 through 17, he only crested 80% of snaps twice. And yes, you and I talk about routes and all those types of things. This is applicable also when you look at routes. Gronkowski was blocking a ton last year, and I'm not saying that, like, okay, is he going to do that again this year? But there are outs to this snap percentage going down, the routes going down, especially considering how high we saw it last week. Like, players that are not exact, like 25 years old, 26 years old, they're not at the beginning parts of their career. Veteran players, we do see this trend down as the season rolls on. Right now, this is the freshest we might see Rob Gronkowski the entire season. And considering that, this is not the fact that I don't like Gronk, and I don't think that he can have a good season. I don't think that he could be like, or that I don't think that he could be top 12 at the tight end position. Those things are possible. But for a player that we saw extremely damn good usage, he went out and he played really damn well. He caught 2 touchdowns. And if you're able to adjust and address another part of your roster, then I think that you need to be putting him out there on the block and going after teams where maybe they drafted Jonnu Smith and he failed, or other players that they took as like late round tight ends. And you have Gronkowski, even if he's your tight end one, I think that you need to be putting him out there, because if you're able to get a wide receiver back, or a flex-worthy running back, it back in a trade. More along the lines, I think it's easier to get a wide receiver in a trade, considering all those things, because running backs are always like fantasy gold mines. You're not going to be able to get them quite easily, much less if you're trading a tight end. That's probably not going to happen. But can you get a player that could walk into wide receiver two, wide receiver three production at the wide receiver position? Yes, I think that that's possible. So I think that it's time to get rid of Gronk. If you don't do it now, then look, Atlanta, 23rd against tight ends last year. I think he could have a good game. And then you go after this week and you're like, look, he just stacked good game and good game. What do you want? And you need to get him, you need to get rid of him before week three, because now he's got like a little three pack of tough matchups after Atlanta, where they face the Rams, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. Each one of those teams was top 10 in DVOA against the tight end position. So you need to be getting rid of, or at least putting Rob Gronkowski on the block. If not this week, definitely next week. What are your thoughts with him?
Yeah, I think it's fair. And even if you want to just, even if you don't want to trade for a receiver or running back, like, I would trade Gronk straight up for Tyler Higbee right now. And I think you could do that. So even if, like, because we know this offense, like, Mike Evans was the receiver and the pass catcher that had the bad game on Thursday night. Plenty of weeks it's going to be Gronk. Plenty of weeks. And then what happens in the middle of the season when Gronk's body's a little bit beaten up and stuff like that, and they start to play OJ Howard more? Like, I think that's all very possible. And I think Gronk is, like, easily still a top 10 tight end the rest of the way, but, like, I would rather have Higbee. Fant is kind of close. I think those are two tight ends you can probably trade, maybe straight up for Gronk, or trade Gronk straight up for, and I think you're getting a better tight end. So yeah, I don't hate the call at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you got to get rid of him now. Any other players that are on your trade away list, Adam?
No, it's tough right now, because, like, there's a lot of superstar players that had bad week one games, and I'm sitting here like, okay, they'll be fine. Like Calvin Ridley, Zeke, Derrick Henry, these guys are going to be fine.
Well, and I almost put Josh Jacobs. We talked about that. I feel like I've beaten up on him enough.
He's just
going to
keep scoring touchdowns.
Man, like,
just to piss you off.
My wrestling with Josh Jacobs all offseason and even now, I'm like, I almost added him to this list just because, but the question is, could you get anything for him? And I mean, did he get in the end zone twice? I think there's arguments to be made on both sides of that. So we're going to move into the Q&A portion of this episode. Again, while we're doing all these, you can still get questions in while we're answering these right now live for trades. First one we got here, Adam, is Elijah Mitchell and T. Higgins for Saquon and Cortland Sutton. Which side do you sit on for that one?
I mean, you got to take the Sutton side. Sutton side.
This is slam dunk for me. I'm with you. I think that this is not even close. Like, as much as people would believe about Elijah Mitchell, getting Saquon back.
Even if you're, like, concerned that Saquon's not going to be top 10 this year, you still take that trade.
I mean, if he's not top 10, he's going to get the workload to be, what, top 15, top 20? Even behind a terrible offensive line with dimes at quarterback,
and I
all
like
those things.
T more than Sutton, but, like, the next 6 weeks, Sutton could be really good.
And the other thing we're talking about is you need to be changing what you think about this Broncos passing attack. Now it's more narrow target tree, and anybody that was expecting a big game out of Cortland Sutton versus James Bradbury,
right?
I don't know what you were looking at, because that was never going to happen, ever. That was not going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think his snaps were limited, but, like, he didn't run as many routes as I thought he would in week one. Again, maybe they're just easing him in a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, James Bradbury was elite last year, gets off to a good start this year. And, I mean, Sutton, we talked about it last night, just talking back and forth. Like, Sutton this week against Jacksonville, he could go crazy.
Yeah, I think I would be making this move ASAP. Like, that would have already been accepted immediately. Next one we got up here, Adam. Who is the best player or package I should be shooting for if I'm trading away Chase Claypool and Daryl Henderson?
Calvin Ridley.
Yep. I think this is one of those things where you're looking at upgrading. You're taking two players that are in the top 24, low end of top 24, probably at their positions, and you're going after a wide receiver one or RB1 considering this. This is a great move, and I like making moves like this. And I talked about this before the season kicked off. I wrote up an article over at FTN Fantasy. You could still go find that if you look at my contributor page. And it was talking about how you approach 12-team leagues versus 10-team leagues. Trades like this, I will do any damn time I possibly can, especially in 10-team leagues, where you're trying to stack your starting lineup, you're trying to make it at the biggest collection of all-stars that you possibly can. And so, yes, if I could get somebody like Calvin Ridley, even if not Calvin Ridley, like somebody in that wide receiver one range that's coming off a down week one.
Would you do Terry McLaurin?
Yes. Okay. I understand that people are down on him.
Taylor Heineke's aggressive. Like that crazy catch McLaurin had, I'm pretty sure that ball came from Taylor Heineke.
My whole thing is that I don't understand why people are down on Terry McLaurin because of losing Fitzpatrick. Does it hurt him? I could make arguments on both sides of that. Like, there were outcomes in this season where Taylor Heineke was possibly going to see the field regardless that you should have been baking into Terry McLaurin. He is the unquestioned number one option in that passing attack. And this is also a team that people are like, well, what about Taylor Heineke? Oh, well, and I've seen it on the timeline, Adam. People are like, well, they're going to lean on the run game. They're going to lean on the defense. I'm like, okay, first of all, those narratives are bad. You need to go back to last year and look at what this offense did with freaking Alex Smith under center. They were top 7 in passing rate. They were top 7 in pace. So if you believe that if they have faith in Taylor Heineke, if you get better quarterback play out of Taylor Heineke over Alex Smith, of all freaking people, then how are we talking about, oh, this is now a team that's going to start running the ball and that's all they do? No. That's not going to happen. So I love Terry McLaurin. I think it's a great call, man. I think he's a fantastic candidate to be trading for because, Adam, we've talked about this in the offseason, man. Like, before he had the ankle injury, he was top 12 in almost every damn metric you could name for wide receivers. Yards per route run, fantasy points per game, all these things with Alex Smith at quarterback. So I love that call. Next one we got here, Mike Evans and Chase Edmonds for Justin Jefferson and Geo. I want
the Jefferson side.
You do? Tell me why.
I have my concerns about Chase Edmonds, and they used their running backs as like, it was a full on split in week one. And Connor was the short yardage back. And I just think Jefferson is, I don't want to say he's like light years better than Mike Evans, but I would have him pretty comfortably ahead of him. I think the upgrade from Evans to Jefferson is larger than the downgrade from Edmonds to Geo, personally. It's close though.
I don't know, man. Like I think again, this is one of those trades that screams like if you are set at running back, then yes, make this trade. If your running back room is kind of this screams to me that this team has a really good collection of running backs, though, that they don't need Chase Edmonds. Like, they drafted Chase Edmonds as an RB3, RB4, and if that's the case, yes, make the move, get Jefferson on your team. I think that you're looking at, okay, I think that there's not as big of a divide between Mike Evans and Justin Jefferson as a lot of people will think. And I think there's a big divide between Chase Edmonds and Geo. So this one's kind of like roster specific in a vacuum. And you're trying to upgrade your wide receiver position. Can you make the conversation for Justin Jefferson? But I struggle with this one a little bit more than you. And in a vacuum, I almost lean the Mike Evans side because Evans is not as bad. And you and I talked about this last night, man. Evans is not as bad as what we saw in week one.
Like, so Evans was kind of touchdown dependent last year, and he didn't score in week one. Like, what changed?
Look, the thing that people want, like, they're talk about, like, okay, Mike Evans, what he did at the beginning of the year, he lived off of touchdowns, blah, 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 blah. We saw last year when Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, all of them were on the field, like, weeks, I want to say it was, what, 9-7 through 16, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think
after
it was
Antonio Brown. Yeah. So after Antonio Brown, Mike Evans still led this team in target share, handedly. It was like 22% versus 17% for both of those other two options. And he led this team in red zone targets.
And he missed
he's a guy
much all
that we should have put
game.
In here for trade four, dude, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I think we can make easy cases to trade for Mike Evans. So oversight for us. But we're mentioning it now. This is why we're rolling through the questions. I think Mike Evans is a guy that you can go buy low on. Next one here. DJ Chark for Tyler Higbee. What are your thoughts, Adam?
I'm assuming Chark's like your wide receiver three or flex. And I'm also assuming you don't have a top tier tight end. But Higbee can be that. So assuming you're good at receiver. And again, Chark started to fall at the end of draft season because he didn't play in the preseason and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would do this trade.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, assuming he's not like your wide receiver two or something like that. Yeah, I would do this.
Yeah, I would do that too. I mean, Chark is probably a guy you drafted as your wide receiver four, and the upgrade that you could possibly get to Tyler Higbee, if we believe that he has that top five, top six tight end upside, I'm not against that at all. Because, Adam, Jacksonville, and we discussed this in the offseason, like Jacksonville, I always looked at as being the discount Cincinnati Bengals. We didn't know where target share is going to be split on a weekly basis. And really, you're looking at your slicing and splitting hairs between touchdowns, and we know touchdowns are all over the place. So there's going to be a lot of variance in this tight wide receiver group. Last question we got here, my friend. Zeke and Ja'Marr Chase for wow. Gibson and Hockenson. Where do you sit with this one?
So, position-wise, Hockenson at tight end is way more valuable than Chase at receiver, just because of how many receivers are in that range, especially Chase's range. Like, there's a lot of good receivers in that range. I think Zeke and Gibson are close enough. Like, I wouldn't fault anybody if they would rather have Gibson rest of the season. I would still rather have Zeke, but I get it. Dude, Hockenson just got the rock in week one. Like, it's going to be Hockenson, Jamal Williams, and Swift getting like 65% of their targets. I'm kind of leaning the Gibson side as much as I love Zeke and as little as I'm worried about Zeke. It's just, it's the Hockenson upgrade from whatever tight end you might have had. Unless you are, you know, unless you have Gibson and Hockenson, then I think I would rather have the Gibson side. That's probably the toughest question we've gotten on these streams.
It's a good question, man. And I'll put it this way. Hockenson has top two, top three upside. I don't think that he, as long as Travis Kelce stays healthy, can he take the mantle from him? I don't think that that's going to happen because I just don't think that he's going to get the touchdowns to do that. But can he be a top three tight end and a difference maker for your team? I think so, man. This kind of comes down to me, like, what other wide receivers do you have on your team? Because if you're set and Chase is, I mean, if you have wide receiver early and Chase is, I mean, come on, Adam, like, we saw him fall when all these narratives came out about Chase dropping the ball, Chase can't catch the ball, there's white lines in the ball, and I don't know if he can even see the ball. All of these things were on the timeline. People don't need to forget all of that. There are possibly teams out there where Ja'Marr Chase is your wide receiver four. I think that could be possible,
dude,
man.
I was going through like a lot of my leagues and looking at other teams and stuff. Ja'Marr Chase was not started in like any of these leagues, I feel like. So, yeah, he was probably on most benches. We saw the upside of Chase, too, though. It's just so tough.
This one's tough, man. You know what? I'm going to take the other side of this. I think that...
So we've been no help today. You're welcome, guys.
The reason I take this is because, yes, am I a massive Antonio Gibson believer this year? I am. I don't believe that Zeke is as bad as everybody said he was in week one. This is a team doing smart things and saying, okay, you have a top run defense in the
NFL.
Did
you see how much Tampa Bay blitzed in week one, too? It was like 53%. Yep. It was insane. Yep. So
if that's the case, why the hell is Dallas going to run the ball? If anything, that is what we call smart coaching, as opposed to what you saw out of Tennessee in week one. It says, okay, we're down 25 points. Let's call a draw up the middle to Derrick Henry. No, that's not smart, and Todd Downing is still not a good OC. I'm sorry, people, but it's just a fact.
I'll say this about this trade, too. If the Hockenson, like, if you have the Hockenson side, or no, if you're trading for the Hockenson side, and your tight end right now is, like, Higbee or Fant, I'm probably sitting tight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, right. though, like, if it's Jonnu Smith, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, Gesicki, especially Gesicki, who I'm worried about, never was on him anyway, then I would probably do it. But, like, it's tough. Because,
well, I don't want to take the low-hanging fruit either, but, like, if this is a 10-team league, considering, then I would be making the Hockenson move. You know, I mean, I think a lot of this comes down to league-specific
so
and your team.
Waivers are so loaded in 10-team leagues. You can get a receiver.
Well, and then, like, yeah, I mean, in that case, Chase is probably your wide receiver 4 in that league. You know, I mean, if you went wide receiver heavy or if he fell in the draft. So this trade, it really comes down to build and what your team kind of looks like. And for me, the league size as well. I don't want to keep harping on that, but it's real, man. Like, I think that, and I don't want to sound like I'm just playing, I'm Captain Obvious here. But you're trying to load up as many elite options as you possibly can. You say depth be damned because I can get it off the waiver wire at any different time of the season. In 10-team leagues, and you stack the hell out of your starting lineup. Because then once you're doing that, and you're saying, okay, we all got all-stars, baby, but I got better all-stars than your all-stars, and I'm going to maul you every freaking week. That's how you take down 10-team leagues. That's how you build these rosters where people are like, oh, dear Lord, I don't have a chance this week. So I think that this kind of comes down to, one, your roster complexion, and two, the size of your league as to what side I lean on it. In a vacuum, I'm probably going Zeke and Chase, only because, yes, I still believe that Zeke has the upside or the floor also that he's an RB1 this year. He has the upside to be a top 5 running back. I think none of that's changed. And Jamar Chase, if he's the dude that we saw in week 1, which, I mean, he came and balled out. He put Patrick Peterson on skates in week 1. And if you haven't seen that video...
Did he ever? And it sucks, too, because Pat P's one of my favorite players the last 10 years. But he... I mean, you want to talk about Jamar Chase being a good prospect. I mean, he showed in week 1.
Did you see the headlines that came out before that game? Chase was talking about, like, I don't want to sit here and, like, get bullied by Patrick Peterson. Like, I love him, but I would love to make him look foolish. Just good competition, man. I absolutely, like, that was fantastic. We got one more question coming in from Twitter. Will Fuller and Tannehill for Julio. Yep, I'm doing that. I'm going for Julio. I don't think that he's washed. I know I just crapped on the Tennessee Titans offense. I don't think that Julio is on the back end of his career. I think that he still can be an effective receiver. Even if Tennessee is not the most explosive offense that we all and everybody hope for this year, and it's still the Downing show, I still think that Julio can be really good as long as he stays healthy.
As long as this isn't,
we need to be overreacting.
As long as this isn't super flex, yeah, I would do it.
Okay.
If it's super flex, I'm not doing it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I read this. I mean, that's a really good point, man, because if it's not super flex, could you even pull that trade off? Do you think that's even possible if it's not super flex?
Right. If it's not super flex, I'm doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. So it's a 2 wide receiver plus a flex league. It is not super flex. So okay. I would absolutely be doing that trade in a heartbeat. Another question from a guy here. Fuller, Landry, Juju, and Ayuk are my 4 wide receivers. Feel like I need to upgrade. Who should I target? What's some names? I mean, some guys that we...
I will agree. You do need to upgrade.
Yep.
And it's tough, too, because you didn't expect Brandon Ayuk to not be part of the San Francisco offense in week 1.
Well, the other thing that's tough here is that all these guys didn't have big weeks. None of them had big week 1.
I mean, Landry had a good game, but it was kind of fluky. He had, like, a rushing touchdown.
Yeah. I feel like you almost need to sit tight, but if you could get a trade done with packaging 2 of these wide receivers and you can upgrade, I would be doing that. I mean, I think the low-hanging fruit here we talked about, Adam, is T. Higgins. I'd be going after him and everything.
I would like Higgins.
Could.
I would like DJ Moore, Mike Evans.
Yeah, I think that.
I think they all make sense. I don't think in most leagues, like I mentioned, I don't think most people are going to say, "Oh, Calvin Ridley had a bad game. I'm done. I want him off my team." So
they spent a top 15 pick. Like he either went in the first round, he went in the second round. People are not going to be moving off of Calvin Ridley that fast. He showed that he is too damn good for too long. That people are not going to be overreacting to that. But if you can go get somebody like a T. Higgins or say a Mike Evans, because everybody's down on Mike Evans after one game. And you hear all the boo birds coming out and saying, well, all he did was live off of touchdowns last year. Okay, Tampa Bay is going to score a ton of touchdowns this year. So if he's living off of touchdowns and he's a wide receiver that's going to get 10-plus touchdowns, that's a good thing.
Let's say there are worse offenses to live off touchdowns in than Tampa Bay's. Let's say that.
If you were to sit here and tell me, well, I mean, he's living off of touchdowns, and we're talking about a wide receiver and the Houston Texans offense or the Detroit Lions, then we got some problems here. If you're talking about a wide receiver that's living off of touchdowns.
They both scored over 30 points in week one.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, like, that's such a bad narrative. Like, oh, he's just going to live off of touchdowns. Okay, well, a lot of wide receivers do, and that's a good thing. Because when he has weeks where he goes out and he puts up the yardage with said touchdowns inside of a top three scoring offense inside of an offense that's going to be top three and deep passing rate, this is what you want. So I think a lot of what we discussed here is go trade for Mike Evans. You need to go get him right now before he blows up with a big game. And it could be coming this week versus the Falcons. So if you wait and you're worried, snooze you lose, man. It could be too late for you to get Mike Evans on your teams. All right, everyone, that is our Trade For episode. Again, Adam is going to be back with our good friend John Daigle walking through the game-by-game DFS episode tomorrow. And you need to also stay tuned. Get subscribed to the podcast because Adam is also going through start-sit decisions. These players that kind of sit in that wide receiver three range, that flex range that you are battling with on a weekly basis and saying, should I or shouldn't
I? Guess who I brought up last week on that show?
Oh, dear Lord. Who'd you mention?
Trey Sermon. Said I'd start him over a lot of people. Obviously, that changed on Sunday morning. But
that changed. And
but I did mention Tyson Williams to start him over a lot of players. So
yeah. He had a good week, even though we saw Latavius Murray. Okay, everyone. We are out of here. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy your day. Get to trading. We're going to be back. Fade the Chalk. We're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.